Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. Today's podcast, I had an opportunity to talk to about 30 chiropractors in Orange County about chiropractic, about the art of chiropractic, which is the adjustment. How do we get patients to understand through communication, which we're told we do pretty well at as chiropractors versus other healthcare professionals, to help our patients understand and build trust how the chiropractic adjustment can actually work to improve their health, reducing pain, along with improving their overall quality of life. To talk to my friends, again, the show notes has a link to the YouTube video along with the podcast app, along with the previous podcast also. Enjoy to understanding how chiropractors think to help you, patients, get better and stay better. Have a great week, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Part of the two, Veronica, is it's early, it's Saturday, we've been practicing all week. We're like, just get us through this thing. Whose birthday month is this month? You guys, some people are actually on top of stuff. I'm like, last night, I'm like, okay, let's get it done. So, and my talk is, I'm a chiropractor, been practicing for 24 years almost. I live in Upland. You know where Upland, California is? Upland, about an hour away? Oh, you guys know where Upland is. Great. It's a small city. We just upgraded our office back in end of December. We upgraded our office to a new location. You build and paint, carpet, everything else too, walls. A lot of it is, as you guys already know, you guys are chiropractors. You know this stuff. Can we help anything to what to do, what not to do, right? That's the biggest thing. Who's ever, and don't answer the question, don't raise your hand. Who's ever been sued before? Robinson State Board, don't raise your hand. Raise your hand if you did. Part of my talk is going to be, how do we avoid getting there? How do we avoid doing the things that we think are right that some patients may think are wrong? How is our perception going to be helpful to the patient to make sure we understand, help them understand what this does, the adjustment does, to help them improve their health? We have to, unless you're a non-contact doctor, we have to put our hands on people, right? And we want to make sure it's safe, appropriate for us and for them. What I mean by safe for us is we don't hurt ourselves either. Who's ever had an injury just in someone or just in life? I have many, 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 many. Okay. In chiropractic school, my first semester, I was lifting weights. Boom, popped my shoulder. Tore my shoulder. I was in a swing for about 6 months. In first semester of school, I was like, can I practice? I don't know. I'll see what I can do. But over the years, I want to take care of my body, which I'll give you some of my things I do that help my body 23 years later still be healthy, strong, and stay that way. I think a lot of it is, as chiropractors, I have a couple buddies of mine. Even the practice I took over, I bought into 20 years ago, I was associate for three. He went out with a back injury. He had to have, I don't know if you guys have seen it before, someone who has a tens unit inside their back, where it's actually implanted in their back, like a robot. A lot of it is he had took care of himself a little bit, but waited too long to get chiropractic care himself. How many people are in solo practice by themselves? And so he didn't have a partner to adjust him. So when he finally got care, it was kind of too late. He had to sell his practice. He had done well financially, he was done. But physically, his body was wrecked. How do we avoid that for ourselves? And obviously being an example for our patients too, okay? So a lot of it is, and again, you guys know this stuff, but sometimes we wait too long to listen to our own advice, is can we stay strong enough in our field and flexible enough so you can actually enjoy a long, healthy career? Okay, you young doctors, good for you guys. But a lot of this, I'm 50 years old, I'll just be honest, I'm 50 years, turned 50 this year. I've had some injuries, shoulder, knee, ankle, ribs, playing basketball, other shoulder too, no wrist stuff yet or elbow stuff. But a lot of it is, can we do enough for our body to make sure we can stay healthy before we even have injuries? How many people here work out, say, a couple times a week? Good. Boom, boom. Okay. Your doctors before didn't really worry about that. They were too busy with practice, family, things like that, so they waited too long. If you can stay healthy by working out, staying flexible, staying strong, have good endurance, at that point, a lot of us can actually enjoy, like as we have been, a long, healthy career. I think that's the key with the longevity chiropractic. I think before, when I came out of practice, most chiropractors retired between probably 50 and 55. That was longevity back in around 2000. Now chiropractors are being more diligent, being their own if you want to call being their own athlete, to take care of their patients. I see probably about, we on average, about 300 people a week. This is what we do. We're high volume practice. And I think by doing that, allows me to help a lot of people. It also gets me the experience, as this is why I'm here, is to kind of walk you through it, as confirmed as you've already done, of what's going to work for everyone's practice in general, right? It's everyone's different. Everyone has personalities. Part of it is, before we adjust someone, what do you think is the number one thing we have to be able to get them to understand what the adjustment's going to do? How do we communicate that? I've kind of answered my own question. How is your communication skills with your patients? This is important, right? We all know, we're chiropractors, this will help a lot of people to adjust people, but how do you get them to understand it may not just be one adjustment? Maybe that magical adjustment. Can we understand it may take time and educate our patients that this may take time based on their injuries, right? Sometimes I have people come to my office, you probably have to, and kind of laugh in your head. I've had this problem, doc, for 10 years, my lower back, it's been horrible. I've done medication, I've looked into other therapies for one too, I've done my own home stuff, I've done heat, ice, now they want me to do surgery, but I'm here because I want that one adjustment you can give me to make this go away. Who's ever had that story? Isn't it phenomenal, like, who told you this? Who lied to you? You know? So we have to make sure our patient understand the reality of chiropractic, not just their perception, right? Okay? Anyone here do social media? With their practice, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, tic-tac-toe. Anybody on tic-tac-toe? Right? That's what I do. Okay. Who still uses Yellow Pages? Anybody? Yeah, exactly. If you laugh, you know what I mean. When I came in practice, we had, this is 2002. You want to get my own practice too. Number one thing back then, Yellow Pages. I have interns from the RP program locally in the local high school. Even Kelsey Fulton comes up to see me. Interns in my office about 3 days a week. I ask them, what's the Yellow Pages? Do you guys know what Yellow Pages is? They go, like this, blank stare. No idea, like perfect. So it's this, if you don't know, it's this big book that gave you all the businesses in your area. And they were monetized by alphabetical order for one, but also how much you wanted to pay to be in the book. In our book, we had someone who worked for Verizon in our office, so she gave us like the deal. We had like the front page ad, called the double truck, where you open it up, it's color pages, and double page, like, whoa, yeah, massive. But at that point, you had to pay for it. Once that started dying down, and that was like, I don't know if you remember or not, if you had it before, it was like $1,300 a month. It was huge. It was a huge budget. And even the white pages too was like $500 a month, the smaller book. So part of it is, that's how you advertise. Besides, what's the best way to advertise? Word of mouth, right? Where it's your best way to advertise. But it takes time to build that up over time, that's just time. But once that started dying down, we went, how do we now get people to understand this a different way, to get them here? So we started going to, like Mark was saying, I think it was YouTube first, and then, website first, then YouTube, then Facebook, then Instagram, now tic-tac-toe. Right? So how do we get our patients to understand our message, to get them here, to get them to understand this can help them 100%? Right now we're filming it, we may not use it for one, two. How do you help people understand your message by communicating the way you communicate? Is it verbal? Is it through x-rays? Is it through, say, auditory also? Do you have a video in your office that you show the patients walk in the door? Everyone's different. We have a TV screen, we shoot some videos up there too. We've done videos since 2012, I think, for a long format YouTube. How do you fix back pain? Here's our long video. How do you exercise? How do you stretch? Where do you get information from? You know? So a lot of it is, can you communicate well with your patients even before they walk in the door, so they have an idea when you get to your office, hey, I want that chiropractic care. I want this chiropractic care. You know, versus they come to the door and go, I want chiropractic. I'm like, you know what it is? I have no idea. I'm like, perfect. I love those babies. At that point, they're fresh and they're open for ideas. So, and we all have stories, right? I tell my patient, my first time I see a patient, I go, and I take x-rays in my office. I'm an old school x-ray guy. I take x-rays in my office. We show them the x-rays compared to normal, all that stuff. You go through some of that stuff if you want to. But a lot of days, like room to room, I go, and before you can see them, I'll tell them if you have a spouse in the room with them before I kind of prep them, and I'll go to them and go, you have four different reactions when you have your first adjustment. I always do the neck first, get that neck out of the way first, especially if it's a neck issue. What's the four reactions for an adjustment? Four major reactions. What do you think? What's one? What do you think? Anybody?
Relief.
What's that?
Relief, wow.
Relief, rep. What's your reaction from the relief, though, sometimes? What's an emotional reaction?
People go amazing.
Yes. And sometimes, I go the major four just in more of a comical thing. Laughing, crying, sometimes. Speaking in tongues. Or Tourette's. I go, what the F was that? So sometimes you have no idea what's going to happen with them. You know? So, and how do you, when they react that way, not have a, oh my God, I didn't expect that reaction? You know? How do you react to make sure they understand that was normal? That's good. That's great. You know? I have someone after I finished adjusting them, I have them stand up and go, how does that feel? They go, they sometimes go different. I go, what's different mean? They go, better, what's better mean? So I want them to verbalize also from the adjustment what is actually happening, what do they feel different from, right? So I had someone come yesterday, had pain since December. He works up in Big Bear. I adjust him for his time. He's about 22 years old. And he goes, man, I got up and now I've got emotion. Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. You want to make sure they're better is what we expect, right? If you go, oh, it feels weird, like, oh man, that's not good. They're like, they're gonna freak out on you. You know? So as a healthcare practitioner, how do you communicate well with our patients so they understand this is getting them better by your adjustment? When you adjust somebody, how do you react after you adjust them? Say just for example, neck adjustment. What do you normally do? What I normally do is go, boom, that was great. Boom, that was good. So that was good release. Good, we unlocked it. So when we do that, that point they're going, that adjustment, that pop, that pressure release, allow them to go, now correlate that with better, with feeling better, release, clear, whatever you want to use term-wise. When you get your patient to understand certain terminology, this is just human nature per se, they link that with better, healthier, stronger, less pain. We help our patient understand that, so we're not just sitting there, boom, 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 boom. Okay, thanks for coming, bye. In school, how much did we learn about communication? Zero, I think, at least when I was in school, back in the fossil days or medieval times, whatever that was. And a lot of it is, how many people, when you were in school, found a mentor to help you learn how to practice before you had to practice? How many people did that? Hard, right? You're in school 8 hours a day. You come home, maybe work out, shower, eat, say hi to your spouse, walk the dog real quick, and get the heck to bed. You know, I was lucky enough, fortunate enough, my when I talked to my interns and these students that are going into healthcare, I did a lot of talks for nursing schools, medical schools, high school, college levels. A lot of it is I go, how do you plan for the future before you get to the future? I was lucky enough to take, again, didn't have any internet back then, it was very modern. We had, first computer I remember was that little Mac. Remember the little Mac? Small one, tiny one, like kind of small screen. That's how I learned the internet, that was mine. But back then I took the Yellow Pages when I was first semester at LACC, or it's called Southern California University of Health Sciences now. Yellow Pages, alumni list in my area, I go, okay, how do I find a doctor I can work with now, because I have 9 semesters to go, and start working with them so they know who I am, and learn what practice is really about. Because I heard, and I was told, school is great to pass the boards, hopefully. You get through school, pass the boards, then boom, good luck, right? What does that do for most doctors? After 5 years in practice, they go, I'm out. is that still the stat? After 5 years of practice, most doctors call it quits. Based on economics, based on what field get into, based on not being able to earn enough income to support their family after 5 years. So how do we get doctors now to understand we have to learn how to practice before we get into practice? I was fortunate enough to work with two doctors when I was in school, whenever I could go and volunteer. By the time I graduated, I already had a job lined up ready to go. Yeah, everyone's different. You may have a family member who's a chiropractor, a friend, whatever it might be, but I didn't have anyone. I just wanted to get in the field because I wanted to help people. Back when I was before I started chiropractic school, if you guys went through this too, there is a website called quack.com. Remember that website? It was basically a person that would rip on any profession that was in healthcare to basically, especially chiropractic, we're the worst. We're a huge, we're top, he's top, he's top one or top two all the time. It's great. And he was like, don't see a chiropractor, they're the worst, they'll rip you off, they'll take your money, they don't know what they're doing. He says, but if you do an examination, if you do x-rays, if you communicate well, then I would see a chiropractor. That's why I went to chiropractic school. I thought about dentistry, chiropractic school, I think other little professions here too. My biggest thing with chiropractic school initially was I want to play golf once a week. That was my thing. But I want to make sure I help people too. My parents, as most parents did back in the 80s, they worked 8 hours a week, 6 hours a week. It worked a lot. I want to make sure I can spend time with my family and do that. So if you have a balanced life, good for you. If you don't, sorry. But a lot of it is we find that balance in our life, so again, we can practice a long period of time. Why do some chiropractors, we said before too, why do they quit after 5 years? They call it burnout, right? What's burnout mean? That means they're unhappy with the profession, happy with their own personal life. They haven't found a way to get that balance. You can have that balance. If you've practiced more than 10 years, more than 5 years, you guys are on. You guys found your thing. But can we maintain that a whole life as we go through having kids getting older, going through family stuff, having our parents get older too, taking care of them? We have a life. When someone comes in your office and they start telling about, say, I have a lot of sometimes senior patients, right? If they're over 65, they come on and tell me their story, what their life's like, what happened this week. When they do that, do you tell them your life too? Like, yeah, I've had a rough life this week too. You know? No. And again, you might. But when you do that, you're almost going, you're more important than they are. They're not there to see you. I'm sorry. They're there to see you for your help. And a lot of it is when you talk to patients, if you've seen them for a couple of times, we do a lot of this, right? But time-wise, quantity-wise, are we doing more of this or more of this? Sometimes I'm doing more of this. This takes about 2 minutes. Boom, 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 done. Good. But how's your day? Two family members, Sylvester and Ramon, they're having kids this week coming up. Okay, how's it going with your wife? And they're asking his contractions, right? How's the hospital visits? How's everything's doing? So they're going, I'm worried about their life, not, hey, I had a rough life this week, I had a flat tire, my kidney's all changed, I don't care about me. They want to hear about their life. When you make it personal like that, but still professional, does that help them want to come back and see you again? Can we adjust more people if you make this personal about them? And someone asked me yesterday too, how do you remember what I did last week? I'm like, I don't know, there's a file cabinet up there. There's something that tells me what to do. When I come to the room and I see this person, I'm like, hey, how's your daughter's graduation last week? I know that, I have no idea. It's just in here. But it takes time to get that. When you see someone's name, how do you link their life with that name? So they know when they leave, man, that doctor really knows me. And one guy, Raymond, he says, man, the doctor, 'cause I work with a partner, he's a great guy. Been working with him for probably the same thing. I brought him to his practice 20 years ago. He goes, yeah, he talks to me. He goes, no, we actually know what I'm doing. You know my kid's going to this school. You know this is going on. I'm like, I don't know. Because that's important to me to understand. When you do that, when you make it that personal, but so professional, what does that do for that patient? Even on day one. Trust. Huge. When you can communicate well with that patient and build that trust to help them understand, they can trust you with their problem. They may not get the adjustment, they may not get the quick 100% relief the first day, but they know that you're going to help them. So they're going to know, when you build that trust, communication, at that point, allows them to see that. And we all do this too. We see a new patient, you look them in the eye, hey, how you doing? I'm Dr. So-and-so. I'm here to help you. We all do that, right? That's part of the business of what we do. Look, as I work with younger doctors too, it's doing it with confidence. And this, you guys all have, this is easy for you guys. But giving that time to build that confidence up so it's done sincerely and with a personal touch. Everyone's different. You guys have your own jokes. You know, I have my own jokes. Sometimes you're good, sometimes you're not so good. You know? Sometimes, you ever address the patient and go, when you're checking them out and then like checking them out and feeling out their spine, and you go, like, it looks like that might be a tumor. Did you ever do that? You know? I do it after maybe the third or fourth is when I get that couple chuckles in there. When they get who I am, they go, doc, are you serious? I'm like, of course not. Come on. Like, but we should probably check it out. Just in case. No. But that's what I mean. You have to be able to read it. What's it called? You guys know who Paul Rudd is? Paul Rudd? He's a funny, quirky guy, actor. It's called about, he sometimes he does it purposely, and sometimes he doesn't read the room properly. Like, you walk into, like, a funeral and go, oh, what's the party afterwards? You're like, no, we're talking about the funeral right now. You know? So how do you read the room properly so you have that consistent, when you end someone's care, say you walk them out of the room or I put them on our stabilizer table afterwards, they leave like, man, I enjoyed my visit today. And sometimes you ever have a patient where you take an X-ray exam and you're like, you're not in the right place. You have either a fracture or something else going on. The red flag goes off in your head. You guys ever have that? You go, this may not be for you. Let's wait a visit. Let's kind of see take your back medical doctor and see what's going on. Or they come in even with a problem. I've had someone come in with cancer before. Can you still adjust my mid back with cancer? I'm like, no, I can't. Sorry. But how do you let them leave with at least a doctor helped me with something? I've had a patient who practiced long enough. I adjusted them a week or so, or maybe 2 weeks. Not getting better, send them out, and they need surgery. Done. Not in my office. I tell my patients, if you're at a 9-10 pain level, I'll give you a week, week and a half, not some improvement. Time for MRI, time to get maybe see an ortho, maybe see a surgeon. I'll call them afterwards, go, hey, sorry about your diagnosis, you need surgery. I'm thinking, hey, but you did, they'll let me know, hey, you tried your best. You led in the right direction. I would have waited longer to see a doctor, get an MRI done if I hadn't seen you first. That's all we're hoping for, right? We help people understand where they're part of their care, wherever that might be. I think that's the important part of being a chiropractor. They come in sometimes, especially now, because their medical appointment with their doctor for their back pain is how long? You think is there a doctor's appointment with their physician if they have health insurance tomorrow? Maybe next day? No, 3-4 weeks out. I'm like, I have back pain now. We'll go. What's the health insurance's answer? We'll go to the emergency room. Go wait 4 hours in the emergency room. Who wants to do that?
Nobody.
Unless you really have to. If you have like heart issues, like yeah, pretty good to go. But if you have a back pain or neck pain, emergency room, urgent care. Or they've done this already too, medications. Doctor medication I'm working, we'll send to an ortho, and that's not 2 weeks out, sorry. That's gonna be 8 weeks out, 6 weeks out, 4 weeks out. Who wants to wait in bed, they can't work, they can't care of their family because they're in pain?
Nobody.
So can we help them? They called yesterday and go, hey, look, I have a spot today. Next day for 1, 2, 3 o'clock, I was looking at like, wow, I can see that doctor at 3 o'clock. They're looking for help, immediate help. If we help them at least get the proper diagnosis, and that point for us and for them, communicate well, that they can actually get that thing better over time. And if you guys, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, I treat the same day. I want to take their x-rays, get them on a table, get their initial treatment done right away. So they feel that they're in the right place, right? That's what we're hoping for. Can we help them know you're in the right place, getting the right help? I think when we do that, what happens to the patient's anxiety, their fear, their, if it's gone so far even to depression, gets a little bit better. That anxiety decreases, their fear decreases, their hope increases. That's what we want to do. That's my first visit. We can get that experience with that patient. I think, as you guys know already, allows them to go, okay, I don't need surgery. I don't need this. I can come here and get the help. That point, we can get more of this done, with adjustments done, to help them improve their overall life. Any questions so far? I see a lot of like this because we all do this already. If you practice long enough, I think a lot of it is you're going to get some different reactions. Who's ever been punched before from an adjustment? Anybody else? Yes. You know, it's going to happen. I adjusted someone, she worked for security for high school, a really rough high school. just her neck seated. Boom, she popped me in the jaw. I'm like, wow. Wow, I've never had that one before. Wow. She's like, I'm so sorry. It's just her reaction. I'm like, okay, I learned from that mistake. I've learned, I dress someone and get out of the way. Jab and then go. Jab and then block. Jab and then go. So you have to be able to, as you practice, as you know, and it's funny even when it happens. Like I always tell people, I'll play golf and things will happen all the time too, or things will happen in the office or anywhere. I go, always my first reaction is always, can I laugh now? Or do I have to wait to laugh later? So can we have enough of a, if you want to call it a, I call it a funny bone, to go, whatever's happening, wow, that's great, I learned something. What to do, what not to do. I had someone come in only a few months ago, played high school football, D1 football, a lot of concussions. He is 43 years old, nonverbal, Alzheimer's. His wife is his, I guess she runs everything in what he does. So I dressed him first time, and he's like, ugh. I'm like, is he okay? He's a big guy. I don't know if you ever know a player called Eddie George. He's a big guy. And he was, is he okay? I was like, you'd be okay. I'm like, okay. Dressed the other side of his neck. And he jumps up and spins his fist and does this. I'm like, oh no. And I'm in the corner. I'm like, I can't go anywhere. I can't get out of here. So she steps between us and goes, oh, he'll be okay. I'm like, all right, I think we're done for the day. That's all he needs. He's good. So she goes, well, next time he comes out, give him the prednisone, the second one, and he'll be okay. I'm like, we'll see. So how do we, again, it was funny within probably like a minute once I got out of the room or safe to get things going. But a lot of it, we're going to have, as you go through patients, again, everyone's reaction is different, right? Nobody knows someone's first reaction to an adjustment. Nobody knows. I had a guy, actually was on the State Farm commercial a few months ago, a big guy, he rips his shirt off, State Farm commercial with Mahomes. And I adjusted his wife, his thumb bow, to catch his first, adjusted his wife's first in the room, he runs out. This guy is 6'5". He fits like a normal door. He'll barely, a normal height door. He has to duck down a little bit, and is as wide as he can. He runs out of the room, takes off. I'm like, what is your husband's problem? He is deathly afraid. First adjustment for both of them. So I go, can I videotape him? He's like, of course you can. I videotaped him. I adjust his neck, scream. Mid-back, scream. Low back, scream even louder. Like I was stabbing him with a knife. Great YouTube video, great video on Facebook, great video on Instagram. Good, and really, I didn't find later he was an actor until later. But he wasn't acting. He was like, it was scary to him. Big, big kid. He has a great Instagram following and everything too. But you're not gonna know until you do the first adjustment what's gonna happen. So can you read the signs sometimes, as we know, when they're nervous, when they're excited, when they have no idea what's going to happen. When they're nervous, what do you normally do? What can you do to help calm them down when they're nervous? What do you think? What's a good thing you could say? What do you think? I say, hey, I've done this for 23 years. I've never hurt anyone before. I'm going to be very careful. I'm going to help you breathe through this and take it very lightly. So at that point, you get comfortable over time. If I know the patient, and I know the patient's family, whatever it is, instead of that, I'm going to say, I have good malpractice, you're recovering if anything happens. Right? We all have good malpractice. Use it once in a while if you need to. At that point, again, if I know the person, you know, read the room, people. So if we make them comfortable so we actually feel that overall they can get the experience of the adjustment, and at that point, walk with them, okay, this is what I need. Anyone have an experience to where someone does not want the neck adjusted? Deathly afraid, right? And like, but their problem is where? Their neck. So I'll do a stretch. I'll do little things here and there to get them comfortable. Go, hey, I'm going to go, if you're okay with it, if you're okay, I'm going to go a little bit further. You may need a little click. Is that okay? They'll go, all right. And you're just like, wow, that's all it is. I'm like, yeah, I didn't break your neck, did I? Well, as far as you know, I'd break your neck. You know? So a lot of it is they just don't know. Or they've watched some of the videos online that says if they adjust your neck, you're gonna break your neck. You're gonna stroke out. You're gonna be paralyzed the rest of your life. What's the chance of being paralyzed by an adjustment? What do you think? What's the stat say? It's like 100? You know? One in ten? No! 1 in 10 million. Is there a better chance of falling out of a plane accidentally? Unless you're doing what's it called? You do it intentionally. Skydiving. I did that once with a guy when I did it with him one time. I checked his mental status, little psych test. Like, are you okay today? Any suicidal thoughts? Nothing? You can pull the cord, right? You can pull the cord? Good. But a lot of it is, can we do enough to where we make them comfortable, and at that point we feel that overall better? I think that's the overall. But I was going to say one thing too. I have so many stories of patients. You ever have a patient come in your office, and especially if they're, say, a mom or mom-to-be, and come in your office, especially with a full weight room, and go, hey, you made me pregnant. Ever get that? It's like, oh, back up. So I've helped your back get better to get pregnant. Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. And we're like, what the heck is going on? So we have to be able to, read the room, understand how to make not only that person comfortable, but that person over there comfortable too. When someone walks in your office, most people have staff. If they don't, that's okay. What's the biggest thing you want to make sure what's going to happen when they walk in the office? You're going to have a good first impression, right? With your staff, with your office facility, with even you for the first person too. I have two staff work part-time. Osman's been there forever. Bon, she's been there before I was there. She runs the show. I just treat people. A lot of it is you want to make sure that staff or that person knows what's important to them. What's the most important thing in for every person and everybody? What's the most important word for them? What are they gonna recognize? What's gonna be the thing that they're gonna recognize the most?
Their name.
Boom. Someone read that book, whatever that book that is. I think it's Dale Carnegie book. Their name. So when you walk in the door, they know it's your patient. Hi Johnny, how are you doing today? Welcome to our office. They go, wow, all right. Versus behind it, as you go to medical doctor sometimes, you're in the hospital to urgent care, there's a glass, piece of glass, someone you sign the name, and then you sit down, so they call you 5 minutes later. My staff know, come around the corner, give them the paperwork, new patient paperwork, right there, sit down with them. Hey, any questions from this, please let us know. What they do also too, if they're comfortable, everyone's different, I am, put their hand on their shoulder. Put your hand on someone's shoulder, what does that tell them? Gives them comfort. Again, pretty appropriate, right? Whatever words it is, be appropriate. Gives, hey, welcome to the office, hope we can help you. Well, look them in the eye, obviously, all that stuff too, but that allows them to feel that you're helping them. Most doctors do most doctors touch patients, medical doctors, nurses, things like that? Unless they have to, minimally. Because we're different, we have two different letters after our name, we use that to let people know we're hands-on, we want to use that touch to give you comfort. Is that right? That help you guys? That helps me understand my patients better when they leave, especially some of my senior patients. They just want someone to kind of show them what's going on. They want to see that they're being helped or, if anything, being taken care of. I have Stephanie comes in. She came with bad back pain about a month ago. She goes, I come here because you listen to me. I come here because you understand. You're my doctor. I want you to show me what I'm doing right or wrong. Most doctors won't. And with most seniors, when you have senior patients, what's your number one goal with a senior patient? Number one goal, every senior patient. Do you need anything like over 65, over 60? For me, I'm 50, so I'm like, I got this last month. I got my my letter saying, welcome to the 50s, ARP. That's pre-Medicare, it's pre-senior status. I'm like, oh, thanks, guys, appreciate it. I got a free tote, though. I get a free tote. I'm happy, my tote. I filled my car today, or last night, actually. But with over 65, 60, what's your number one goal? I do a workshop with seniors every month. I see a lot of them for one, too. They want to stay mobile. They want to stay independent. Can you help them do that? They want to stay independent. So can you make them feel better with the adjustment? Yes. But after the adjustment, what's a good thing to do with them? How do you walk? What causes pain from this adjustment? What are you trying to get rid of? You may do it before the adjustment, too. But how do you help them become more mobile, less pain, at that point, get them to where they can stay mobile outside of their office over time? I brought these, I got them yesterday in the mail, I got some ones at the office too. Have you ever used bands with your patients? Simple things. You can give them away if you want. I don't, because I'm going to charge them like $1,000 for this stuff. A lot of money. But can you help them do one thing with them? I do water bottles. I'll have them show a video. I'll send videos to my patients too. At that point, they know after the adjustment, I'm going to get videos on how to stretch my shoulder, how to move things around, how to get my back to stretch itself too. Using a band for ankles, for knees, for hips, for one too. Can you do little things in and outside the office to help your patients feel better? When they leave, a lot of my reviews from my office, because I want to get that feedback from them, is the adjustment was great, but the doctors gave me exercise afterwards to help me at home to get better for my next adjustment. And does it help you with more compliance with the adjustment when you go, when I see you in a couple days, if that feels good to you, I'm going to give you more exercise to do, more stretch to do. Because some people have no idea how to work out. When they come in your office for their first chiropractic treatment, what's been going on for a long time, you think? Their body's been building, especially if it's non-traumatic pain, not a car accident, nothing traumatic. They woke up, they brushed their teeth, and they just went, oh crap, what happened to my back? Like, oh my gosh. Ever had that before? Instant pain. No reason, never had a back problem before. If you take an x-ray, it's okay, it's not horrible. But they're gonna go, now what do I do? The problem is they've been doing, especially with COVID, at that point they've been doing this all day. Here, on the computer. In the center of their work chair, maybe they're like this all the time. This, as you know, you already know this, this bad posture, whatever it is for them, at that point has caused them to eventually build up that pressure to cause that pain to happen. It wasn't the toothbrush, it wasn't any toothpaste you used, it was actually your position, then it hit you. So can you get our patient to understand, can we change someone's posture, I could do this all day long, at that point get back to here over time, once you communicate that well, to make that pain stay away. And for me, my circling back is the adjustment will help get things going and get things to loosen up, but it's going to be your job to make sure you stretch enough and do your exercise at home to make sure it stays this way. I'm going to see you for these amount of weeks, days, whatever it is too, but I want to make sure you understand I'm only going to be here for you for about maybe 10 minutes a day, maybe a couple days a week, maybe 3 days a week, whatever it is too. But can we over time realize for them, they're their best doctor? Right? You're teaching them how to stay healthy, not just adjustment, boom, I'll see you next time. I think, that's just me. Can we have better patient clients have more adjustments in your office because you're giving them enough information to want to come back? You guys do that? And is that sales or is that marketing? What do you think? Both. I go, it's more marketing because you're giving him an education versus, hey, I have a special for $29.95 on Thursdays through Sunday. Come and see me. Yay, hi. Here's my location. No. So it's you being educational to help that patient understand, I'm here to help you better your health, not just take away the pain today. So you have a patient, I'm going to call it for life, because you know where to go when that pain comes back again. You're teaching them long-term to take care of their body. But what happens? Life. They sit in a car and drive during a holiday 4 or 5 hours somewhere. They go crazy. They try to build a block wall in their backyard when they have a desk job over the long weekend. Who gets phone calls on like a Monday when like, my back's feeling like, what do you do? I did this, like, you don't ever do that. What are you thinking? You know, come on, that's like what you do. But my friend needed help, blah, blah, blah. I give my patients, I'm gonna add my cards. I give my patients on my card, has my cell phone number on the back of my card. Has my cell phone, my personal cell phone number. How many people call me a week, you think? Zero. Why do I do that? Why would I put my cell phone number, my name out there on my card? What do you think? To give them that comfort level that I can reach anytime. But there's only some that are a little bit off sometimes. Get a patient that's a little bit off, and they like start like, oh, it's one. I'm still leaving on my day one. I'm like, no, this is not the number four. it's an emergency. You need me. So sometimes on a long weekend, like the weekend coming up, I think we have 40 weekend for some people have kids, whatever it is. I had a phone call on a Monday. Hey, doc, I did something dumb. I tried to do a black diamond skiing. I've never done that before. My friend talked me into it, and I hurt my back. I'll go perfect. And I'll judge him, call it. Should I see, because I'm down the street from my office and down the street. Should I go see them right away or should I wait till Monday? And usually, as you guys know, they just want to hear you can help them. I go, hey, did you fall? Does it hurt all the time? No, it hurts when I move. Or when I move a little bit here and there, it's a little bit of a pinch, but I'm okay. Okay, perfect. I'll see you Monday. Boom, done. Phone call. What's it cost for the phone call? 2 minutes of your time. Instead of the person with the emergency room being told the emergency room, hey, don't see a chiropractor can probably make it worse. You lose, I'm saying lose the patient, but then you have someone in their head talking negatively about your practice for you. At that point, you avoid that conversation. I had a guy come in, young guy, who works at UPS, probably about a couple years ago, comes in Monday, gets adjusted, and he's upset. I'm like, why are you upset? Because he goes, I forgot I had your number, went to the ER, spent 4 hours there, got nothing done, I came here for 10 minutes, and I feel 100% better. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, ha ha, good for me. So can we give our patients that comfort level? And you may be not comfortable, that's fine. But the way to reach you, even if it's through Yelp or through Google, we do all that stuff. Everything goes to my phone. That will get notifications all the time. Hey, quick message, can I see you tomorrow? Hey, can I make an appointment? And I just kind of walk through, who are you? I'll send my number to your staff, I'm out of town right now or out in the office. At that point, the way to communicate with you, to give them that comfort level that they can actually not have to go to the ER, not have to go to the emergency room. And just avoid that stress of doing it. Tell people here worry about reviews. Not worried about are they helpful for some people? For me, it's more feedback, like I said a second ago. It's feedback of what's going on in your office and how things actually work properly. I had someone give me a review. He had a bad adjustment and he had a long review. He didn't want x-rays, he took the x-rays anyways. Doctor did this. And I found it's the same name of the office, but it's in like Nebraska. I'm like, and I got it on a Sunday, which was perfect. So I messaged him right back. I screenshot the review. I think it was on Google, it might have been Yelp. Screenshot the review. And I messaged back, hey, I think I got the wrong office. And also deleted the review right away. Deleted it. Perfect, right? The biggest thing I did to use it for my staff, my partner, and I had 3 staff back then too, was gonna be, okay guys, we have our meetings on Monday. And I go, okay guys, we got a bad review. They go, no way. Not gonna happen, no. And they go, nope, it happened. I just sat there, let them kind of like steam up a little bit, get mad at it. Who was it? I'm like, I won't tell you till lunchtime. Or being at lunchtime. And I go, I'd rather be like, that's not us. I'm like, it's not us, but it could have been us. Who's in charge of your reputation at your office? Is it just you? Or are there people in your office, your staff, that can help or hurt your reputation? So we have to worry about that. I want to say worry, but be aware of that all the time. And people, because I have reviews on social media stuff, that every month I'll get at least 1 or 2 people wanting me to help them with the marketing. Yeah, if you get those emails, I'll give you 30 patients in 30 days or no cost to you or something. Right? That I go, well, why? Now, sometimes I'll answer their call, put them on hold, and go, they'll ask me, how do you have so many good 5-star reviews? For Yelp, or Google, I think for Facebook too. My number one response is, I know where they live. Right? These are patients of yours. And it's a joke. I know where they live. But at that point, I want to make sure everyone's experience in my office is going to be as good as possible for that day. And again, your staff is just as important, right? If someone calls your office for the first time, never been in your office before too, and your staff is rude to them, condescending, or laughs especially, what happens to that patient? They're gonna be steaming, upset, and mad. I've had a couple reviews like that where my staff, because she gets sometimes, previous staff, gets, I guess, anxious or they start laughing. I'm like, don't ever do that again. You know, so don't do that because that hurts your reputation. Everyone in your office, even your social media, affects your reputation. So if you do social media, like I've done in the past on and off, or I do now, but had quite people question someone, so I put out there, it has to be, you gotta think about when you put something out there or respond to something, even reply to someone's, say, post or whatever it is too, is that gonna come back and haunt you? Everyone has their own personal religious beliefs and their life beliefs, whatever it is too. Can you keep that to yourself? Because realize if you work in a community, As you guys know, at that point, it's going to affect your patient community. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. We have to make sure we are helping to help ourselves get better. And I brought some wipes too. So
okay.
So question for you guys. How people do the actual physical adjustments? Most people do, some people don't. Okay. When you adjust someone, do you do it face up, face down? Do you have a preference? The patient has a preference. I do mine face up sometimes, face down, and also seated 2 foot of the neck. That's my biggest thing, especially for headache trauma. So how safe is the adjustment, you think? We talked about a second ago, percentages-wise. How do you rule things out to make this, make in your head, there's no red flags to make sure that the person is safe to get adjusted? How do you do that? What questions can you ask someone, or paperwork-wise? I like the paperwork, yeah, whatever, but I wanna hear from their voice, have they had a previous stroke? Previous trauma in the area that's causing pain right now? Previous fall, previous injuries? If they had those things, the previous trauma, have they had x-rays before? What have they done? What in your head can you ask questions about to rule out something that may be a risk factor for their adjustment? Have they had previous blood pressure issues before? And reasons why? Have they had heart surgery? Any other surgeries in their body for long? Have they had any injuries to your shoulder or clavicle that could cause a carotid artery to become calcified? When you adjust their neck, it can cause problems. You know? How many people have adjusted someone's neck and they have a headache afterwards? I have. Many, many, many times. How do you explain that? What I say, this is my own thing, is I'll say, because the nerves in your neck have caused, I take an x-ray, have caused that carotid sinus, which is your thermostat to your head, from your body, that cause problems, it's when you have a stressed carotid sinus, it's causing to constrict the area, causing less blood flow. So what happens when I release that pressure on that nerve, now that carotid sinus can now relax, and now can it relax to add more blood flow, it's gonna go to your head, so that pressure change in your head will actually make you feel a little bit of a headache sometimes, a little bit of head pressure, then it'll dissipate and become more equalized, more balanced out. They go, okay, doc, I'm not having a stroke. I'm like, you might be, but not this time. You know? So you gotta read the room, right? Gotta read the room. At that point, you gotta go, okay, then why am I having this? Because of that. Ever have a patient fall asleep on you? Fall asleep after an adjustment? I did first time when I was first in practice, and freaking out, I'm like, oh, crap. I was checking my practice set up. Okay, I'm good to go. I had somebody adjusted, it was in the morning. A new mom, she had a new kid. Husband came with her too. When I adjusted her, and she sent her home with an ice pack, and she was doing pretty good. And the biggest thing, she couldn't sleep. Because of her new baby, complications with the labor, she couldn't sleep very well. Probably about 4 or 5 days. I sent her home after adjustment. She goes home, and she falls asleep right away, and her husband can't wake her up. She calls me and goes, I can't wake my wife up. I'm like, so I ask her, is she breathing? He goes, let me go check. He takes forever too. I'm like, come on, I'm on hold here. Let's go. So he goes, yeah, she's breathing. Well, when you try to wake her up, what happens? She goes, ugh. Then she's alive, let her sleep. And don't freak me out. You know? So you have to be able to like, give yourself a second and go, that's normal. Yep, that's normal. She's trying to get a rest now. She can actually sleep. Her body's relaxed now. The pain's reduced enough so she can actually sleep. He goes, okay. New dad, he's tired too. We have to be able to read the room, right? I had someone come in a couple weeks ago, Sheila, real good lady. She comes in after the first adjustment, we had bad back pain, desk job. And she goes, I'm concerned. After first, I'm like, crap, what's concerned me? Goes, I have no more pain. I'm like, well, good. Use the right terminology, people. Everyone, and as you know, this is 2024, right? People use different words for different terminology. So can you ask for clarification what that means before you jump to your conclusion what that word or that term means? There's so much different lingo out there now. Again, I'm 50 years old, fossil. At that point, where you have to almost go, what does that mean to you? What is that, what are you trying to say here? In a courteous way, you know? So everyone's response is different. They use different terminology. They have different things that they think might be. how you interpret it to make sure that that's going to be good in the long run. I think, can I have so many stories? It just, as we in practice does, you guys know, you're like, wow, that was a fun day. You know, that was a good day. Something happens like sometimes, like not so good, I'm like, ugh. Like, and then I laugh afterwards. My wife goes, why do you laugh? I'm like, because it's funny. Don't die. Don't get injured. We're good. You know? With the adjustments, does anyone here practice solo? Solo practices? If you want to get adjusted, please let me know. At that point, we can always do that too. We can, it's never required, ever. But do you guys, who practice solo? Do you guys want to get adjusted? Come back, sir.
Come on.
We don't know? Okay. Be my guinea pig. I'm sorry, not guinea pig, my model. I'm using the wrong terminology. See? Dang. So, grab the seat. Yeah, I'm curious. Don't you hate that when people don't enter your pockets and go to your office? You know, I go room to room, grab a seat.
What you make a lot of money that way.
Tony. Dave, grab a seat. Don't enter your pockets, I have a table. I put my new office. I put tables up there. Little corner table, like, corner table, stuff over there, please. Like, oh, your glass too, yes. Because you adjust them on the side, right? Keys go into the hip, they go, ow. So what happens? You go, oh crap, what did I do? No, because your keys hit their side of their hip and cause a little bruise. All right. So Dave, what's going on?
Upper mid back.
Cool. You're an active guy, you're a healthy guy. Good. What makes your upper back tight normally?
I do a lot of soft tissue work.
Ooh, so a lot of arms, hands, shoulders too, right? How's the shoulders feel?
I rub extremely.
Tight.
This one's fine.
Good. Did it increase injuries to your shoulder? Good. How does that affect your neck from the shoulder? That complex. Good. So some people have, as you know, from we have that shoulder pain, goes to the neck, goes back to the upper back also, causing all that pressure. You ever have your shoulders adjusted too? I saw it on YouTube. I'm going to adjust you. I tried on you today. Is that okay? I'm kidding. Okay, if I adjust your neck seated?
Sure.
Perfect. Ken saw it on YouTube, figure try it first. So here, David, as you know, we just feel around, right? I always tell people too, as we have been, bring your body up a little bit, get that posture up, get them reset, perfect. That's what, it's like working out, right? When you work out, have some workouts. Do you want to work out here, or do you want to work out here? So I want people to work out here, I want them to also get adjusted here, so they know what normal posture should be over time. Right here. So David, right here. I'm gonna get right in the one spot, and again, it's not a tumor, just a little bit of pressure. Your head bend a little bit, take a deep breath in, all the way out, right there. Is that okay? It's been a while, my friend.
Been like too long.
And I think a lot of us practice, especially for solo too, and it's hard to find a chiropractor locally that will do the equal exchange, right? That's the plan sometimes. We'll go this side too. Do you guys think you should adjust both sides or just one side? You go, oh, I'm good. What do you guys think? I adjust both sides and I tell them, I don't want them to walk in a circle. I want to make sure they're staying even the whole time. All right? And I sometimes you'll check and nothing will happen. I want to make sure we get things going. Right here too. Again, if someone has pain, you ever have this? If someone has, for example, pain or tightness in their shoulder, neck down here, what is the common area to have problems on the other side? What's the balancing point? I call it the balancing point. The top of that neck on the other side. So if there's problems usually lower here, I'll see where the body wants to stay balanced. It'll be the opposite side on the higher area. More like say if it's say C6, C7 on the right side, the left side would be more maybe C1, C2, right up here. All right, that's just my watch vibrating. Not your neck, David. Not your neck. Right here. Okay, Mr. David, so your head turn a little bit, take a deep breath in, all the way out, right there, simple. Yeah, you are due, my friend. When I say, this is things I do all the time, David, when I say you are due, what does that mean to the patient? All right, I'm at the right place. The patient I've seen him for a long time, like, dude, you've been here for a couple weeks, what the heck, what's wrong with you? See me more often, you know? So I'm setting them up to make sure they understand this was, not only is this a problem, but also it's been building up over time. I don't want that to happen again. So I'm gonna do now your shoulders for you. I want to always do the better side first so we get the feel of what's going on. And if you ever do a shoulder, I only started doing this a couple months ago, or actually about a year ago. So David, so what happened during COVID? How did How did we communicate less during COVID? What did we do? We had to do, some people did, I admire that they required it. You had to wear a mask, right? If you didn't, when you start wearing a mask, I realized I lost communication skills and they couldn't see my mouth. So what I started doing is go, David, if I'm gonna do an adjustment on your shoulder, what I want you to do is bring your left hand to your left ear just like that. So did that for me. Good. I'm gonna bring your elbow in when I go behind you, okay? I'm gonna go right here. They can see me, they can see me what I'm doing, not just hear me. Right here, bring your elbow in, and here, take a deep breath in, all the way up, right there, and also back here too. Does that feel okay? Get a little AC adjustment, good. All right, now let's do this side. So bring your hand to your ear, elbow in, bring that shoulder back a little bit more, deep breath in, all the way up, the shoulder relax, right there. And also back here too. There we go. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Just work, my friend. Just work. What I do from here, I'm gonna have you go on your back for me.
Face up?
Actually face up, yes. Important, very good. Very good, David. I trained you before, man. I'll leave that there for you. Scoot up more. What happens when you tell someone to lay down, what happens? And you go, face up or face down, what happens? That's next, they're angry out there. What happens is, they're gonna do what they feel they wanna do, right? So what I do sometimes, I'll tell someone go face up on your back. I'm being redundant, correct? But they may know face up, they go, what the heck's that mean? Or they go on your back, okay, I know what that means. So you never know. And still, 8 out of 10 times, they still do what they want to do. But can you get them to, initially, so you're not wasting time. That's not wasting time. Make sure they're going the right way for you. You know, everyone's different. So what I do, I always double check the neck, and I'll say, this is me. I go, because I'm not expecting any cavitation, and some people come in expecting the adjustment, the pop, boom, right? I'm going to adjust them, but I'm going to go, I always prep go, I'm just going to double check your neck, make sure it's clear, okay? Good. Just to make sure. Right here. Take a deep breath in. All the way out. Right there. Good, that's clear. Other side too. Take a deep breath in. Boom, that's clear too. Good, David, perfect. And again, this is how I think about what I'm saying is good, David, perfect. What does that do? It's what I expected. Not like, oh, David, we missed something. I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know. I had someone like, and this is just a side note, I had someone come and change my water here. I was for 20 years, water here is dead. Comes out and goes and changes it out and starts trying to turn on my, and he starts trying to turn it and ignite the water heater. He goes, oh man, that's not good. I'm like, Mike, that's not how you respond to someone. It wasn't a chiropractor. I'm like, Mike, don't do that. You're scaring people. He's like, I'm just gonna change it out. I'm like, yeah, do that, but don't do that emotional attachment to your not working properly. So now, I do my, and everyone's different, I do mine face up mostly, in the sense where I put my hand in the back if I used to. At that point, get that cavitation out. Real simple, right? So Mike, cross your arms for me. Right there, perfect. And this is a good shoulder, correct?
Yes.
You ever have people with a shoulder problem they don't tell you? You ever got to tell you, like, oh yeah, I tore my shoulder before. Hurts a lot. I'm like, thanks, buddy. When you use this adjustment, the only problem with the adjustment that I found is if they have a bad shoulder, you want to make sure their top arm is where your leverage is going to be when you do this adjustment. I have Karen, she's had a bad shoulder for a long time. Hers is left shoulder. And I tell Karen, every time you come in, remind me about your shoulder. So if I mess up and miss the wrong shoulder, it's not my fault, it's your fault, Karen. You know, it's your fault. So here, I'm gonna use David's left shoulder, and then David, take a deep breath in, all the way up, good. Take a deep breath in, all the way up. And then take a deep breath in, all the way up. Let's do one more just to make sure we got everything. Let your arm come back. There you go. Good. And then how is the lower back, David?
Tight.
Good. Do you feel like one leg is off more than the other? One hip's off? Is it tighter on one side more than the other side? Is it basically even?
I think it's even.
Yeah, mine's usually the right side, especially when I'm working out for one, too. So here, and everyone's definitely this, if you don't take x-rays, sometimes I use this instead. I'll check leg length. What does leg length do for the patient? What does leg length do for the patient? It shows you're examining them a little bit more than you would just by adjusting them. So my leg thing check for me, I'll confirm with that trainers too. David, like myself, has a higher left than a lower right. So David, what that tells me when I do this check is that right now your left hip here, you can see that, David, is coming up and your right side is coming down. The problem with that, when your right side, left side is coming up, right, it's coming down, at that point, your body's gonna twist to the right, but the problem is you're not gonna stay in the right, because it's gonna look weird if I'm looking to the right the whole time. I'm gonna walk weird also. My upper body's gonna naturally come back to center, causing sometimes more pain in your lower back. That make sense? It sounds good, right? As long as you sound good, you're gonna buy it, right? There you go. Did I say it's gonna cause, when I do this, did I say it's gonna cause left side of pain or right side of pain? Did I say that? No, because I don't know. But whatever pain they're having is gonna be the pain that's gonna help correct that. As we all know, that left side nerve can transfer over to the right side, cross over, so it can be the other side too. And not for me, 9 out of 10 times, probably 8 out of 10 times, it's gonna be the lower side causing pain. Basically that neuropathy too, correct, sciatica? Sometimes the same side. Sometimes I remember, sometimes I won't, because it might be their 9th, 10th visit. I don't know. But I want to make sure I confirm with that every time. A quick check, boom, that's your hip right there, boom, 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 and you go. So right now, have you do? Dave, what I like to do is use the higher side. First, can I have you on your side facing this way for me? Real simple. And this doesn't raise, sorry about that. A little bit more toward me. I want to make sure when I adjust someone for the 80th time in one day, my back is going to be good, right? Okay. I always put my leg on the table. When I do this, what's happening? What am I saving? Here, right? My back, when I'm doing this, helping David come over, my back's going, why are you doing that? Stop doing that. So I do this, and my back goes, thank you. Now all the tension is here on my leg, on the table. I can do this all day long and not feel my back wear itself out. Yes, I'll admit, I go home and take a power nap at lunch. I love power naps. Anybody else, power naps? Boom, boom, good power naps. So from here, what I'm gonna have you do is bring your shoulder back for me. And I'm gonna have you do a little different. I'm gonna have you bring that leg off the table into the floor, okay? And I want that foot to touch the floor because you're flexible. You take yoga today? No, okay, you missed yoga. So here, when I'm here, what's happening? Knee is on the table, back is safe. If I can roll David over as much as I can push with my hand straight down, not do this where I'm over here. Here, hamstring, glute, back. Now my arm is here. When my arm is here, my elbow is out to where it causes more elbow and hand and wrist pain. So I come here, David's foot's on the floor, that's my goal. Come here. I do hand contact or elbow, it's up to you. I do the hand first. Take a deep breath in. All the way up. Good right there. Good right there. Good. Other side for me too. So I do two moves, hand and elbow. I'm showing this side easier to see. To help some understand, I bring that shoulder back more. There we go. That leg drop again for me to the floor as much as you can. Here. There we go. And sometimes, as you know, when you stretch someone, you can hear a pop, right? I go, that's great, that's our first one. I go, that's the first time there's gonna be more, right? So here, hand contact, elbow straight down, my knee on the table, take a deep breath in, David, your head relax all the way. There we go, and move with the elbow, boom, there we go. Okay, on your back all the way, on your back. Do you guys, when you do the leg check, do you ever double check? Sometimes I don't. Good, better, even, good, better. When I adjust lower back for lengthening quality, I want to make sure the higher side here, Dave can see it too, the higher side here, I want to make sure I'm pushing that hip down and that hip up. You guys have your own contacts you guys want to do, but can you visualize, if this is here, how do we adjust that to get it better? Because it's not just for someone's back pain or cavitation or tightness. What does that help when you check their leg length or see an x-ray and see if someone's even antalgic too? What is that? When you can adjust them, what can that help? That can help reduce the nerve pain almost immediately. You ever have someone who's in severe pain, you adjust them, it goes from a 9 to like a 5?
Yeah.
You know? That point, how do you communicate with them when it goes from a 9 to a 5? They get up and go, man, it feels so much better. What do you normally say? Well, how can you word that to give them why that happened? For me, and I say it so many different ways, so it's hard to give you one thing I say. We took the pressure off the joint. That point, the joint pressure decreased. That disc PSI that was swollen, causing herniation or bulge, causing your sciatica, now that PSI went from, say, a 90 to a 50, less pressure, that point that nerve isn't being affected, that nerve relaxes and muscle relaxes. I said nerve relax, muscle relax, that's why it's instantaneous improvement. I said if it was a muscle problem, David, we'd have to do massage, we'd have to do physical therapy, we'd have to do stretching, get the muscle release. Nerve pressure release, automatic muscle release. That's where you feel the pain. And everyone's different. I do hand stuff, I do pops, I do head touching, nose touching for one too, so they can hear and see it. What helps me helps them see it too. And when I do this too, especially if you're sitting up or standing, when I'm done talking, I always do this. When you nod with someone, when you're talking to someone, what does that make them do? It makes them nod also. When they nod from you nodding, that helps them confirm, I get it. They go, I understand. I had a son who was his first job interview, Barnes & Noble. I go, what are you gonna do? He's like, what are you going to do? How are you gonna dress? You're dressed appropriate, right? We're calling shirt, pants, and leather shoes. But I said, when you talk to them, they ask you questions, how are you going to talk to them? How are you gonna respond to their questions? I said, do this, just give them a little bit of nod when you answer the question. And they went, and he said, hey, it worked. I'm like, of course it worked. Psychological. Can you get them to understand what you're trying to help them with? So not only today, but next time they know what to expect. They want to come back. They want to do more adjustments with them so their problem gets better and stays better. They teach them the right things to get better done. Get done. Knee, ankle issues?
Yeah.
Everybody have your ankles popped?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, if I pop them? You guys done this before too. So bend your knee. Okay, you know what? Right here? Real simple cavitations. Right there. Just keep things loose. Undecided for me too. Deep breath in. All the way out. Good. All the way out. So right there. Dead right there. Good. That one needed it. All right, come up. It's my bad foot. Pizza. Pizza. Who else has feet problems? I did for a long time. Ever had feet problems before? And they ever have a patient with feet problems. What happens if people have feet problems? Patients, they also have knee problems and back problems and hip problems. When they have problems, what they start doing? They start walking like this, leaning forward. So looking at their overall posture in person, as of right now, Efren, he's actually been having his foot surgery from an old injury he has. But right now, he's walking like this. I'm going to go, Efren, get the cane. Don't be a man's man. Don't be a macho man. And let your body come back up. Get your body here instead of here. And I think a lot of people forget about that. Because people with a foot problem, like, ooh, I don't treat feet. I'm not a podiatrist. You're not, but is that affecting anything else in their body that can help them with? Especially when they have a senior patient for a long time. Sometimes people come to my office, their problems are not chiropractic related, but they want my advice, my partner's advice, what can I do for this problem? That tells you that they trust you with their health. And when you get to that point with someone, it takes time to get there, allows them to actually see the overall benefit of picking your brain. Do you ever get a question where you say, I don't know? I do all the time. I don't know, but I can help find out for you. You check with this doctor over here. I don't know about that. Let me find out and get back to you on that. What do most medical doctors do? I guess stereotypically for one too, when there's a question, and they should say, I don't know, but they don't say, I don't know. We'll try this medication. Let me find out about this. I had a patient come in, real young girl. She's 25 years old. Came in, severe neck and shoulder pain, but the biggest problem, she couldn't sleep. Insomnia, nurse insomnia. She had seen her doctor for the last 5 years. Doctor says, well, the x-rays came out okay. Well, there's no neuropathy going on. That's okay. You don't need surgery. So what they say, as you guys know already, thank you, is they say it's all in your head. Ever get that? I want to tell the patient, go back and punch the doctor in the face. Get your copay back too, by the way. You know? Because a lot of it is, instead of saying, hey, we don't know yet, let's do more testing, you don't want to put the time and effort to call the insurance company to get that nerve testing, that MRI done. They go, we just think it's your head. So you psychologist, the person, you're fine. She sees me in my office, my partner and I, within 2 months, she's gone from sleeping 2 hours a night, maybe 1 hour a night, being a nurse too, to where she's sleeping 6 hours a night. No medications, no neck pain, no shoulder pain. After 2 months, after 5 years of dealing with this, it upsets me because I have kids, you guys have kids too, or a kid. A lot of it is, someone's quality of life has decreased for that period of time. It's upsetting that someone didn't see her earlier. So realize, from the adjustments, what you guys do, it's you're helping someone improve their life for the rest of their life, right? 25 years old. How many more lifetimes does she have? She has 3 more lifetimes to live. That point, that can make her life better, easier, better quality of life, happier. Every patient come in, and it's like, sometimes I see it with more of the moms, because I can joke with them more. And they'll go, they'll respond to your questions, yeah, no, yeah, no. Chronic neck pain, chronic back pain, yeah, no. And then a couple weeks they go, hey doc, what's going on? They're smiling like, oh, you're no longer grouchy anymore. Thanks, appreciate it. Brought my office down. Because there was so much pain, become short-tempered, stressed, sometimes anxious, sometimes depressed, right? Chronic pain patients, it's not just their physical body, it's also their mindset, right? You guys check that? In a sense where I go, so you've had pain for 2 months, affects your ability to do stuff, you have some burning, some sharp pain for 1-2. I always ask them, you've had it long enough, does it affect your sleep? And it might be on my question, I don't even know my question, I don't know what it is. But does it affect your sleep? And I go, they go, yes. I go, my next question is, do you wake up recharged or do you feel like I didn't sleep at all? I go, I didn't sleep at all. And from then I go, because I now have opened the door, I go, does it make you feel more stressed? They go, sometimes. You feel like sometimes short-tempered? Yeah. Lack of energy? Yeah. And then you go from there, open the door again. Next question is, does it make you feel sometimes anxious? And you go, sometimes. How about depressed? Boom. Then you got it. Because then you can go back and go, once you've answered yes to the last 3 questions, but we're stressed, anxious, or depressed, can you relate that back to now the nervous system, how you work it as a chiropractor to make that reverse itself? How do you verbalize that? We all understand the fight or flight system, right? Sympathetic's autonomic system breaks down your sympathetic to your parasympathetic. Your parasympathetic is your rest and relaxation. Your sympathetic is your stress response, your fight or flight. Does that affect your nervous system? So it's not, I'm going to tell them, at this point in my examination, you don't have a chemical or a mental issue. You have a nervous system issue causing you to feel stressed. Telling you to now feel more stressed. And 2 months ago, that didn't stress you out, and now it does. Can we fix your nervous system to make the overall body better so you feel less stressed, less anxious, and then sleep better so you feel more recharged? They go, all right. Again, stay confident so they're going to believe it no matter what. But then can you show them after your second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, 12th adjustment, when you ask them, how are you sleeping? You go, wow, a lot better. Wow, a lot better. And then they correlate that sleeping better with you helping them sleep better because you adjusted their neck, their back, their shoulder, whatever it might be. Does that make sense? Can we make sure they correlate your adjustment with not only their back pain, the ability to sleep better, to live a better quality of life, and not be grouchy. And we're like, oh, all the time. Go on, you smile more now. Thanks, appreciate it. Brought my office down every time you came in. No, don't do that anymore. You know, again, you got to read the room, but you want to make sure it's a good time to go. They go, yeah, I know, whatever. And they bring their husband and their wife and their kids in for them too. How many people see families? I do, you know? And my office has been there. Crap. My office is, I bought into the office back in 2000-ish, I think, 2002, whatever it was. And it's been off since 1982. So I'm like the fifth doctor in there. Everyone else died. Just passed away. Okay. Not dead. But a lot is, because I've been there for so long, I'm seeing third, fourth generation family members are coming in because my dad and my grandfather came in. And I'm like, this and that and this. And we were back in Upland, and Upland was just a little town. Like, yeah, horse and buggy type of stuff. But a lot of this, can we relate to that and help their generation so they know chiropractic works for them? Did you ever have a new patient and they were told, I was from a small town in the middle of nowhere, but we had a chiropractor. And that chiropractor treated everyone in the city or in the town, wherever it was, or wherever it was. Because that chiropractor probably, because again, back then, back in the 80s and 90s, it was very not well known or not high reputation, was able to understand the philosophy of chiropractic and get people to understand that portion too. Does anyone use the word subluxation in your office, subluxation? I do once in a while, they know what it is, but it's a long word. It's a lot of syllables. I can't, those are more than I normally do. A lot, and as you guys know this already too, there's a phrase called, again, universal, like attracts like. When you talk like someone, like as a new patient, and you talk like them, meaning like their volume of voice, the words they use, the tone of voice, their mannerisms for one too, how they sit, how they stand. At that point, it allows them to like you a little bit, and when they like you, they can what? They can trust you, then you can help them with their care. So that initial examination, anyone ever tell you they have leg pain that's called sciatica? Yeah? You too? Not just me? Right? So they go, hey, we're going to help your sciatica. That's what we do here. In my place. All day long. We do. Down the line, as I talk to them, as I do the examination, as I do the adjustment, after they go, that adjustment feels so much better. I feel lighter, I feel better. Good, that helped your sciatica get better, right? Yeah, it helped my sciatica get better. So you help them Jedi mind trick back to what it should be. Right, everyone's different. And what happens if you correct someone when you first meet them, what they're doing wrong, as I think it's a kid thing, what happens? Do they like you? No, they go, what's this guy's problem? You want, and you guys know this, right? This is easy. We want to humble ourselves enough to make sure our patients get the ability to understand what we're going to help them with. Chiropractic is not known for everybody. It's 2024, yes or no. But it's chiropractic. Still people come to my office that don't know chiropractic. Or what happens is, worst case scenario, they think it's something else, but it's not that. Or even worst case scenario, they've gone to chiropractic before, they've been hurt. Have you ever had that before? A lot. They call and they go, my staff goes, ugh. And we go, who is it? Is she's angry. We get the phone call. And she'll go, and he comes in and goes, hey, I saw someone down your street from you. They weren't very, I don't think they were very good. They hurt my neck. Can you help me? I'm like, yes, I can. No, I go, what do they do? Boom, boom, boom. What do they do? What did they do? So I want to know what they did first. If you just go, yeah, I can help you. Yeah, I'm going to do what's going on in your body. Walk them through what's going on. And I always go, if someone does that, it's going to have their own, right? What best thing you can do is say, we don't do that. We can do something else to help you. If you can go, if you find out what it was, and some people call us to showing their cards. Ever hear that before? Show their cards, what do they do to you? How'd that work out for you? What's going on? We don't do that. We do something else that may help you. Don't tell them what it is. Just go, oh. You put it on hold, the staff will take your information and get you as soon as possible. At that point, you're helping them give them a different, hopefully different outcome per se. As a chiropractor, are we artists? I'm an artist. I worked apart for over 20 years now, about 20 years. At that point, even though we're together, we still have a different art form when we adjust someone. Your adjustment is your adjustment. How much pressure you use, how you treat someone, what you do when you're getting that final cavitation for one too. Everyone's different. But can you make sure you're different is going to help that patient as much as possible, as often as possible? I think that's an important thing, right? For all of us, for one too. Okay. Anyone else want to get adjusted? Adjustments? Let's go you first. How about it? Okay, next. I love it. All right, so walk through a patient exam and blah, 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 all the stuff we do. What's your name, ma'am?
Lisa,
Tony, nice to meet you. Grab a seat. So what's going on today? You've seen chiropractic before, obviously. Do you work solo? Do you work with someone else? Good for you. You have fun. You're healthy.
Yes.
What are you for health? What's your activity level? What do you do?
Gym.
Good. And yeah, hanging outdoors?
Oh yeah. Let's
good. What do you do? What would you like to do?
Hiking.
Where do you go hiking?
Peter's Canyon.
Where's Peter's Canyon? Is it around here or is it somewhere in the hills?
Yeah.
Good, good, good. You have fun. Good. This is for you. What's going on with your body today?
I feel pretty good. I have a old shoulder injury on this.
Okay. How do you treat the shoulder? What do you do for exercise, for stretching?
I don't do anything. I let it hurt.
You go to the gym, you said, right? So what do you do in the gym to help it alleviate some of the pressure, stress, or do you avoid those exercises?
Yeah. I'm in avoidance right now.
When you're avoiding it, does it affect your neck and upper back? By having a bad shoulder. Not bad shoulder, but a tight shoulder. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then do you do a lot of lower body then too? Good. All right. Good. Let's get treated for one too. When's your last adjustment?
A long time ago.
Okay. And you always ever ask that if you've seen a patient for the first time and they're coming in just in your area, they want one adjustment, whatever, like, yeah, whatever. At that point, I go, when's your last adjustment? Because that helps me understand, have they had any trauma beforehand or afterwards that puts a red flag in your head? I gotta be careful. So there's no trauma since your last neck adjustment, right?
Correct.
Or back adjustment. Do you adjust your shoulder back then too?
Yes.
Good. If I adjust your shoulder too?
Yes, sir.
Let's adjust the shoulder too. All right, let's go right here. Good for you. Ooh, you feel that tumor right there?
I'm feeling.
Good, good. There's no tumor, okay. Let's go right here. Can you bend these? All the way out. Shoulder a little. There. Is that okay?
Yeah.
It's been a while, huh?
Yeah.
Tight
I
muscles?
I should have told you I'm like super sensitive too. Okay.
That's okay. Don't even tell me that stuff. It scares me. It's good to sit. You want to sit over here? Sit over a little bit? Don't scare me, Lisa. No. That's one thing. Someone is like going anxious, but I don't know. Maybe I just go for it. That way you can see the reaction right afterwards. And drop for me. Take a deep breath in. A little bit of pressure. That's easy. Yes, easy stuff. This is your shoulder next. This is your good side first. This is your left side first. And then your hand to your ear, just like that. And elbow in, come right behind you. When you treat someone for the first time, do you walk them through what you're going to do? Like, I'm going to go behind them. I put my hand here, my shoulder behind you here. Why is that important? Makes them comfortable, makes you, and makes it safe for you too, right? If I'm walking, I have someone who works in pediatrics. And he works in more human resources, customer service, like liability issues. He says, the biggest thing doctors get sued, pediatrics especially, they don't walk through what they're doing with their patient. Mom's sitting in the corner, examining kids for a hernia, not saying a thing. So when you walk through a patient, what you're gonna do for the first time allows the mom to feel comfortable, but also the liability issues. Did you walk through your patient? What were you gonna do? Yes. I was gonna touch their neck, touch their back, touch your shoulder. You know, who's ever adjusted someone and you accidentally rub against a private part? It happens. Lower back, glutes, chest, wherever it might be. You gotta make sure you're verbalizing everything to go, oh, that's gonna happen once in a blue moon. All right, so right here, your left hand to your left ear, ma'am. Knees bring your elbow in, right behind you. Take a deep breath in, all the way out. Feels okay, easy, right? Right here, too. Deep breath in, all the way out. Just like that. It's okay? Mm-hmm. Right now, your shoulder palm you mentioned where it feels tight. Is it here, AC joint, or more subscapularis in the back of the spine?
So it's in the front and underneath. Nice.
So it's almost a teres major comes across the shoulder, too. So bring your hand to your ear for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a real light the first time. Your head back a little bit. Right there, easy, right?
No.
There you go, right there. And then up here, too. Real easy.
Okay, I'm scared.
Okay, I'm just gonna stretch it out. That's all I'm gonna do. Just a stretch.
Okay.
You have to stretch one of these up. Why don't you stretch your shoulder now?
Just when I can't
hear. Okay. So go on your back for me. I'm gonna show you something I sometimes do with my patients. I take a very expensive water bottle from Costco. I'll sell it to you for $5 later. This is the right arm, correct?
Yes.
Here. I'm horrible left and right, so I always ask. Water bottle here. The water bottle relax in your arm, let your shoulder relax too. Is that uncomfortable?
It's more like good stretch.
Good.
Like I can feel it.
That's what I meant though. That's uncomfortable. When you ask your patients to stretch, Is it uncomfortable? Means that it's not going to guard and tighten. It's going to actually relax and stretch.
It's more painful back here.
Good. So bring your, yeah. Just get over more this way a little bit.
Okay.
Let that arm come out and let that shoulder just rotate backwards.
Oh.
Good. There we go. I want to see their face too when I do a stretch with the patient. That tells me how far you should be going. When you go, oh, I go, as long as it feels just like a stretch, not a guard, that's when we're good to go. This is your stretch for 2 minutes.
Okay.
You ever take a broomstick and stretch too?
No.
Try that one.
Okay.
So here, all the way up. And then see your mid back this way too. So on your back form. Right here.
How do you think about that for a second?
Yes.
You said you're
exactly. On your back, face up. Cross your arms for me. Do you have a lot of pressure on your right shoulder blade also because of the shoulder?
I don't know.
Feels good? Okay, good.
No.
Good. I'm gonna switch arms with you though. I'm gonna bring your left arm up, so I'm gonna use this shoulder blade and that shoulder for leverage when I adjust your mid back, okay?
Sounds great.
Good. Take a deep breath in, all the way out. Good right there. Deep breath in, all the way out. And one more time, man. All the way out. Right. There, good. So lower back, when you're squatting 500 pounds, how did your lower back feel?
Well, I've had surgery at L5-S1, so I kind of take it easy on all that stuff.
Do you stretch your lower back a lot?
Not a lot.
No.
Yeah.
Good. How do you keep your lower back? Does your lower back even bother you?
Not very often.
Good.
I'm really lucky. I had a great outcome on the surgery, and I'm pretty lucky.
Awesome. Do you want your lower back adjusted or no?
Sure.
Good. On your side facing me.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of surgery do you have?
L5
discectomy. Yeah, so
micro,
no,
yeah.
There's no rods or
screws,
nope. Things like that.
No, and it was decades ago.
Perfect.
So it's
when you have patients that have to have surgery, what do you usually tell them when they have to have, a shoulder, a back, or knee issue? What do you usually tell them? What's a good thing to tell them afterwards? So let me go to, if you ever say, what kind of physical therapy do you have to, what kind of physical therapy after you're going to want to do? Because I always recommend is if you're going to get the surgery, if they're asking what should I do with the surgery, are you getting physical therapy, PT afterwards right away to build up scar tissue? Here I have two patients come in, guys in his 60s, other guys in his 30s. They had surgery within a week of each other, but his shoulder. One had physical therapy right away, almost the same day, boom, within 2 months, he was out walking again, 4 inches of motion, everything. Other guy, His surgeon said, we're going to brace it for 3 weeks, then we'll start doing physical therapy. 2 months later, he's still like this. Done. So with yours, whatever you did properly, go for it. Worked out well.
Oh, it did.
Yes.
Yes.
Bring your leg off the table for him again. Mine's a little different.
Okay.
Put to the floor as much as you can. Get a deep breath in. All the way out. Right there. Other side for me too. Easy.
Oops, sorry.
You're good. I get kicked all the time, Lisa. Or shin guards. More toward me, the shoulder back, no arm here too. Good, deep breath in, keep that arm nice and relaxed. Right there, easy. Good, come up. Easy stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
How's that feel?
It feels great.
Good.
Yeah,
thank you. Keep your routine though, Lisa. This is
I new. Love that shoulder stretch, yeah, thank you for that.
And I like that one, even this one too. We all have shoulders, right? We all have shoulders. Mm-hmm. I take a light band too. I'm gonna go here with your right shoulder. And then slowly, behind you as much as you can, just pull back this way. So I'm going to come back with my arm here and pull back as much as you can.
You're pulling back.
Pulling back that way. Because what happens when you have a shoulder problem, as we know, front muscles here, because I tore mine before, pec minor, anterior delt, bicipital tendon, they tighten. What happens to balance itself out? The back muscles weaken. So we have to strengthen our back muscles, posterior delts, to make our muscles stronger, even this one too, hand here and come out this way. So at the gym, cable here,
yeah.
And pulling across your body. Boom. That's what I did when I rehabbed my shoulder. Yay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you
so
much.
Have a good day. Next. Any questions so far? Are you guys having fun?
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys entertained? Yes, that's all I'm hoping for. I do talks all the time, and a lot of it is going to be education, but also has to be fun, right? If it's not fun, we're not going to learn. At least not enough. You know, what's going on?
Right.
Yeah. Andrea, Tony, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So, right now, what caused the injury initially?
In the hip and the knee. Probably I sprained a time, like 6 months, driving excessively, like from the Bay to the Pacific Coast,
which
a lot. And that's when I started to have more like paying attention.
Got it. How long ago was that?
4 years, 5 years.
And why did that stay with you? Why is it still there, I guess? What have you done to help it, or tried to help it?
Good question. Doing mobility and stretches.
Awesome.
My squat is still asymmetrical, so if I squat and I weight,
Does it just kind of weaken out too at the end? Second, like third set?
Yeah, a little bit. Like knee collapse, stomach collapse.
Good. So not good, but that's common to have for one too. Mm-hmm. With your range of motion with your hip, does that feel like it's improving or not improving?
It's okay if I mobilize it, but if I go back into a squat pattern, it'll pinch after a while if I don't.
So before I do anything, I kind of want to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see your hips. Is it equal or unequal? So on your back, from the first face up. And let's see here. So right now, when I check everything out, as you guys do too, your legs straight for me. We're off a little bit, not that much, higher or lower. Do you feel that when you're squatting?
I just feel like a pinch and a shift to the right.
Now your body is off. So right now, like I said before too, with David, is right now we are here. We're a little off this way. When you stretch out your hips, do you stretch them out between sets?
Usually before and after.
Okay. Sometimes what I do, because they'll do a lot of squatting or working out with the leg length quality, is go down to, let's face the tighter side, go down to lunge between sets and push up for about 10 seconds. Helps, the biggest thing is that when you're pushing up, like sliding forward and pushing up, helps get that muscle to lengthen, as you know, make that area want to stay loose through the workout, not tighten up during the workout. So I'm gonna adjust your lower back, everything else too, based on this being higher, this being lower. So your left being high, so your left being higher and your right being lower, all right? So when I say that, why am I saying that? Because I'll forget too. So I wanna make sure I don't forget. See if I adjust your neck this way? No neck issues, right? Perfect. Take care of you. Where do you practice?
San Luis Obispo.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. So you came down for this? There we go.
And a friend's birthday
party. Good friend. Double up.
Yeah.
Brush arms. Deep breath in. All the way up. Yeah, my wife likes to go up there. We like to go to Cambria up there. All the way up. And deep breath in. All the way out. Boom. Again, where's my leg? On the table the whole time. I'm always braced on the table. This is a bigger table, this is an awesome PT table, not a Justin table. Always brace yourself to help your lower back get better. We talked about a second ago, because I forgot again. Here, higher and lower, so I'm gonna have you do it on your side facing this way for me. And don't tell patients I forgot too, so just want to know. Deep breath in, all the way up, ready? There you go, other side for me too. How much do you stretch, Andrea, normally?
Once a day, once every other day.
Good. So you have a good routine.
Yeah.
You want the leg dropping in the foot a little more toward me. Right there, and then here. Do you see this through my hands like this? It's not this. My hand's open, not closed. Why is that important? You're grabbing somebody. I'm not grabbing them, I'm grabbing them. Keep my hand open. At that point, let your body stay here, hold the pressure. So there's nothing can be misinterpreted, I guess. Deep breath in. All the way out.
There we go.
Right there. Good. You're welcome. Enjoy the birthday party.
Yes.
Have fun. I'll have Ron get you out early for your birthday party, okay?
Okay.
Any questions, guys? Was this fun? Entertained? Hopefully I'll see you next year.